This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back and continuing our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're gonna talk about the juz number 6 in the Quran. Particularly, we're gonna talk about Surah Al Ma'idah. But before I start, I'd like to ask everyone, let's try to be communicating both ways. So, you have heard from me, I'd like to hear from you as well. So if you can, please, if there's something that resonated with you, please comment on that. Talk about which ayah you connected with, not necessarily from the ayat that we have discussed, but from the other beautiful ayat of the juz to be recited for that night. If there's something that you want to comment on, whether positively or negatively, something that you like or something that you don't like, please comment on it so that at least we would have some feedback and hopefully, inshallah, do a better job, inshallah. Surah Al-Ma'idah, we are still continuing with the Qur'an of Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, the Qur'an, the Madani Qur'an, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. There are going to be some similarities between Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah is the feast, which is basically a table or a spread that has different kinds of foods and drinks and so on and so forth. And this is talking about a particular event and a particular request that comes by the end of the surah, a request of the disciples of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, al-Hawariyun, when they ask Sayyidina Isa a question. And the question itself, honestly, was the wrong question. The form in which the question was posed was the wrong question that shows an incomplete understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and who Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is. So the whole surah is named after this event. And we find, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in Surah Al-Baqarah about many of the behaviors and many of the mistakes of Bani Israel, we're going to find a parallel here in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the major mistake of the followers or those who claim to follow Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, those who call themselves Christians. And that major mistake is, again, a lack of understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So, claiming in some of their sayings that Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is Allah, the incarnation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing of that of what they're talking about. And in other ayat, they're talking about Sayyidina Isa being one of three, or three in one, and that concept of Trinity that is so mysterious that when you ask about it and when you get into details in an argument with them or in a dialogue with them, you won't find any clear answer or any clear understanding. They're going to talk about Nasut and Lahut and things that, words, subhanAllah, that are not that easy to understand. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining subhanahu wa ta'ala to us who He subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it's very easy and straightforward. The unity and the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very easy to grasp and very easy to understand. It does not require a lot of elaboration, a lot of explanation that in many cases, or in most of the cases, defy any logic. So, Surah Al-Ma'idah is also one of the themes of Surah Al-Ma'idah is our pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in the form of Al-Uqud. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us at the beginning of the surah, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu awfu bil-uqud. O you who believe, fulfill your covenants, fulfill your promises, fulfill your pledges. And this is a character of an honorable person, to stand by his or her word, to fulfill their promise and not to renege on that promise or not to break that promise. So the biggest promise or the greatest covenant that we have is our covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is worthy of being upheld and respected and fulfilled before any other agreement or before any other covenant. What is the covenant between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that in one of his beautiful hadith, where he asks the companions radiallahu anhum, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ? Do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his servants? And the companions ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please tell us about that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَن يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his servants is to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partners, without any associates, and not to associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one part of the agreement. As they say in contracts, a contract consists of at least three elements: an offer, an acceptance, and something called consideration, which is an exchanged value between the two parties of the contract. So this is the offer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to his servants, that he subhanahu wa ta'ala should be worshipped without any partners or any associates. And this is exactly al-amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has proposed to the heavens, the earth and the mountains, and they accepted this concept of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they do not have any other choice, but they refuse to take responsibility for that or the accountability for that, which is what the humans and the jinn have accepted, that yes, we're going to have the choice whether to worship or not, and we're going to have the consequences also. We're going to bear the consequences, which is the accountability for that. So those who believe are going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who do not believe will be subject to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So the offer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that intellect, that choice to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The acceptance, the humans accepted that offer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the humans and the jinn. So what is the consideration or the exchanged value? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his negotiation with the delegation of Yathrib before it became Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was offering them to join them and to migrate to them, which is exactly the same offer that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave everyone. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that offer to Quraysh. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that offer to Bani Hanifa, to Bani Amr ibn Sa'sa'a, to Bani Shayban, to Thaqif, to all the tribes that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to them to take him, to carry him, and to protect him. The offer was, you protect me so that I can deliver the message of my Lord. And when they asked, and what do we get in return? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them about that consideration or that exchanged value. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Jannah. And that was enough for that delegation of Yathrib, who told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Radina. We accept that. We know that there's going to be a huge and a grave consequence of defying all the Arabs by taking you and protecting you, but the price is so high that we can accept any sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his servants. And then to talk about the other side, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ? Do you know in return or in reciprocation what is the right of the servants on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are we to have a right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his extreme and infinite generosity and mercy, is giving us a right. That's a grant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ explains that the right of the servants on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if they, it's pending on the condition, so the acceptance is pending on the condition, if they fulfill that condition, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without associating with him, that he will take them to paradise, that their final abode will be paradise. So again, this is the finest and the highest and the most important agreement that we engage in, and the most important covenant that we get in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us initially to accept this contract and to fulfill that covenant. In the ayat that come following this beautiful start of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us again and reminding us time and time again about the concept of at-taqwa. Remember that some people feel or misunderstand that at-taqwa is only related to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but its reflection and its application and its implementation is in our relationship with all of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us also always that do not claim that you are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you mistreat all the other creatures and you do not fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your relationship with the other creatures. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that being fair and being just, not oppressing anyone. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. The other ayah. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَى أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, let not your hatred for some people carry you to be unfair or unjust to them. Be fair and be just. That's closest to piety. That's closest to the mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, let not your hate for people who prevented you from going back to Al-Masjid Al-Haram to perform Umrah or Hajj, let not that act, which is a wrong act by itself, let not that be a reason for you to be unfair and unjust. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remind us, unite, وَتَعَاوَنُوا, help each other, support each other, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, on everything that's good and leads to the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not collaborate on sin or on aggression. These are reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come at the beginning of this beautiful surah. Again, subhanAllah, the surah, as all the surah are extremely rich, and as you have noticed over the past few days, we cannot stop at every single ayah because that would take hours and hours to talk about the beauty of all the ayat. So we're going to try to choose some of the ayat. That doesn't mean that the other ayat are not worthy of being discussed. Of course they are, but it's just the limitation of time. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about what is lawful to eat and what is unlawful to eat. And again, the beauty and the simplicity and the practicality of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the general rule that things by default are lawful. Everything by default is lawful, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes unlawful. So when they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is allowable for us to eat, what's lawful for us to eat, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Everything that's good is lawful for you. However, there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed unlawful. Some people may think they are good, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his extreme knowledge and wisdom, has decided that they are not good, so you should not approach them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us what would be unlawful to eat. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقودة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. So the ayah basically is talking, and I'm going to remember it in a second, inshallah. The ayah is talking about what is unlawful and what cannot be eaten. Apart from that, everything is lawful and can be eaten. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about different types of animals that cannot be eaten. An animal that has fallen from a high altitude and faced its death. An animal that was asphyxiated. An animal that has been hit or killed by another animal, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us what is good, and apart from that, what should not be eaten. And then comes a part of an ayah in the middle of the ayah that's talking about what's lawful to eat and what's unlawful to eat, and so on. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, during his reign as Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, he met with a Jewish man, and the Jewish man told him, you know what, there's an ayah in your book, if it was revealed to us, we would have taken it as a day of celebration. لَاتَّخَدْنَاهَا عِيدًا. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what ayah are you talking about? And he said, where your Lord says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today, I have completed your faith, your way of life, and I have accomplished my bounty upon you, and I have accepted and endorsed Islam as your way of life. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thought for a second and said, you know what? In fact, I know where was this ayah revealed and when was it revealed. This ayah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, in Hajjat al-Wada', the pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Arafah, on the day of Arafah. And this actually was also a Friday. Among the days of the week, it was a Friday. So Friday is a celebration of the week, and Hajjat al-Wada' is our celebration in our lifetime, and the day of Arafah is a celebration by itself. So it was a celebration for us as believers. And some of the Mufassirin of the Quran say that this is the last of the Quran to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let's distinguish here between some technicalities. What is the last surah to be revealed in its entirety? That's Surah An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. What is the last complete ayah to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. So, but the last revelation is this part of the ayah. It's not a complete ayah. It's a part of the ayah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the people who were, the scribes who were writing al-wahi, insert it in such and such location. So they put it in the middle of the ayah that's talking about what is lawful and what is unlawful to eat. In Surah Al-Ma'idah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a beautiful story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, another chapter of that story. And it's quite interesting for anyone who has been living in the West, when you look at the names of people, you find a couple of names that are quite common in the Western Christian and even Jewish environment. And these two names are Josh or Joshua and Caleb. So what is the significance of these two names? When Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam received the commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead his people to Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, to Al-Quds, Jerusalem, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free it from any oppression or any occupation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa, lead your people to go to that land. And Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, I have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead you to this land. And what was their response? Their response was, oh, we can't. Their initial response was, we can't. Why can't you? Because this land is already occupied by a very strong group of people who are very strong physically. They are like giants to us. So we cannot. Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam took one guide from each one of the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. From each tribe of the Asbat, the sons of Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, who, as we mentioned before, was Israel. So Bani Israel are the descendants of Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Musa took from each tribe one individual, one strong, smart individual to be an eye or a spy, to go and walk around this village and explore where are the weaknesses where we can penetrate through the gates and the walls of that village and attack it to occupy it. These 12 eyes went and came back. 10 of them said, no way, there's no way, we can't do it. It's impenetrable. The walls are so fortified, the people are so strong, it's better to spare our efforts and save ourselves. There's no way we can do that. But two of them came to the right conclusion. Two of them said, actually, there is a way. There are some small gates in the fences of these fortresses. If we manage to force ourselves through these gates, we might be victorious. We might have a chance. And these two individuals were the right hand of Sayyidina Musa, apart from his brother Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, the young man who accompanied Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam everywhere he went, Yusha ibn Nun, who is translated into English or Latin as Joshua. And Joshua is abbreviated as Josh. So the people named Joshua, their true name is Joshua. So Joshua told Sayyidina Musa, we can. The other one was Caleb ibn Yufunna. That's another head of his tribe, or the eye from his tribe. So these two individuals told Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a way and we are willing to do it. And subhanallah, later on in the scripture, in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, these two are mentioned. And today, if you try to find out who the other 10 were, their names are mentioned as well, together with the tribe that they came from, but they did not gain the same prominence because, again, they were defeated. They were not worthy of being recognized and people naming their sons according to these individuals. So that's why Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he told them one more time, ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. Follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try. Do your best. And they said, they told Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam the very nasty response, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. You go and your Lord and you fight. We are going to be staying here, so don't bother us with your request. Now fast forward to the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and in the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again look at the covenant and look at, we go back to that covenant by the way, that agreement between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, especially Al-Ansar. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the Bay'atul Aqaba Thaniya, the second covenant of Al-Aqaba, before he migrated to Al-Madinah Munawwara sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his agreement with the Ansar from Al-Aws wal-Khazraj was, when I come to you, you protect me to deliver my message. You have to protect me within the confines of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. That was a very clear distinction. The right of protection is limited to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The Prophet ﷺ did not talk about any right of protection outside of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So now on the eve of the Battle of Badr, on the 17th of Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a technicality here, there's a trick. Badr is outside of the borders of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The majority of the army are of the Ansar. So the Prophet ﷺ now is in a sort of bind. Am I going to bind them to their agreement? But this is beyond the terms of the agreement. How can I force them, or how can I make it their responsibility to support me on the day of Badr? So the Prophet ﷺ, when he learned that the army of Quraysh was three times the number of the army of the believers were 313 or 14, the army of Quraysh was between 900 and 1,000. And they were more prepared, well armed. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ashiru alayya ayyuha an-nas, O people, I'd like to hear from you." Of course, who was the first person to talk? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "We will support you. We will not turn our backs to you." Great. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one more time, "Ashiru alayya ayyuha an-nas." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stands up and says, basically repeats pretty much what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said. "We will support you, we'll defend you. This is an existential threat." "Ashiru alayya ayyuha an-nas," one third time. A third companion, Sayyidina Al-Hubab ibn al-Mundir radiallahu anhu, he stands up and says, "Ya Rasulullah," or Sayyidina Al-Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he said, Al-Miqdad ibn Amr said, "Ya Rasulullah, la naqulu laka, kama qala ashabu Musa li Musa, idhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila, إنا هنا قاعدون وإنما نقول لك اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا معكما مقاتلون." Oh, ya Rasulullah, we are not going to say to you as the people of Sayyidina Musa told him, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا, you go and your Lord fight, and we're going to be sitting here, but we're going to tell you, you go and your Lord and fight, and we are going to fight with you. Beautiful words. Clear distinction between the behavior of the believers and the predecessor of Bani Israel. Still the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ashiru alayya ayyuha an-nas." Well, three are not enough. That's a clear, unanimous opinion of the army. Not yet, actually, because these three individuals, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, all of them were Muhajirin. So what about the Ansar, the majority of the army? And Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the two leaders of the Ansar, understood what is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aimed at. And he said, وَكَأَنَّكَ تُرِيدُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you talking about us? Do you mean us, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond. He understood that he got the message. And Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you take us wherever you want. If you cross the sea, we are going to follow you without anyone staying behind. وَإِنَّا لَصُبُرٌ فِي الْحَرْبِ صُدُقٌ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. And we are so patient when it comes to war. We are not defeated easily. And we are truthful when we meet our enemy. We are going to fulfill our pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "La'alla Allah yurika minna," may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you see from us what would please your eye. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a sigh of relief. This is exactly the response that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expected to hear from his community. Now the Muhajireen and the Ansar are all united in their support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have learned the lesson. They have quoted the right words. We are not going to do like these people, but we are going to do the opposite, which is fulfilling our covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even going beyond the agreement. Now, on a side tangent here, when people talk about contracts, they're talking about two major groups of contracts. One is called a transactional contract and one is called a relational contract. A transactional contract is basically, you do this for me, I do that for you. So it's going to be a reciprocation. I'm going to buy something, so I'm going to give you the money and you give me the goods. Or I'm going to sell something, I'm going to give you the goods and you give me the money. Or there's going to be bartering, we're going to exchange this for that, and so on. These are most of the contracts that we know of are relational contracts. In fact, even part of our contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some people may perceive it as relational, that we want paradise and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we're going to do this. However, when we look at the other type of contracts, which is the relational contracts, it is not pending or conditional on the exchange of things. And these are actually the highest types of contracts. When we look at really our relationship, if we truly understand our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for who subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of being worshipped without any paradise, without any fear of the hellfire. That's the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is so magnificent. Inshallah, next time when we talk about Surah Al-An'am, it is primarily talking about that. And when we look at the relationship, even in a family, the relationship between the sons and the daughters and their parents, and especially also the relationship between the parents and their sons or daughters or grandsons or granddaughters. Now, the parent who used to care for that child when he or she was an infant who could not control anything, what did the parent expect from the child? Nothing. The child who is kind and nice to his or her parents when they grow old, why? What are they expecting from them? Nothing but their relationship. So it's a relational contract. And usually relational contracts are much stronger, a much stronger bind that, or relationship than transactional contracts. And that's why we find that the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all connected to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to themselves, and first and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that relational contract. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for who He subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is well deserving of being worshipped. In the ayat that are following, of course we know the end of the story of Sayyidina Musa with his people, that since the majority has rejected his offer and his commandment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Musa to tell them, قال فإنها محرمة عليهم 40 سنة يتيهون في الأرض. This land has been forbidden for them. And for 40 years, they're going to be going in circle, lost in the desert, not knowing where to go. This is the punishment for that. When that whole generation almost perished, only the young generation led by Sayyidina Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua, led those people later on. After the first generation has expired, now this new generation that's not tarnished with the practice of the previous generation, now they can go and advance or try to advance again to reoccupy that land. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the first crime on earth. واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لأقتلنك قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. Tell them about the two sons of Adam. When Sayyidina Adam and Sayyida Hawa were descended to earth and they were expected to inhabit this earth through their offspring, Sayyida Hawa, she gave birth to a son and a daughter, twin. And then in the next pregnancy, she gave birth to another twin, set of twins, a son and a daughter. Now, to multiply and to have grandsons and granddaughters and to start spreading, who is going to marry whom? So Sayyidina Adam والسلام, told the two sons, we're going to switch. Each one is going to marry not his own twin, but he's going to marry the other member of the other twin. So the two sons, Qabil and Habil. Habil's sister was not very good looking, whereas Qabil's sister was much more beautiful. So when Sayyidina Adam والسلام, told them about this juxtaposition or that switching, Qabil was not happy with that. Am I going to marry the not so beautiful one? What about my sister who's so beautiful? And Sayyidina Adam والسلام, told them, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. And to prove that, each one of you should approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sacrifice. Bring something to as a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see whose sacrifice is going to be accepted. The sign of the sacrifice being accepted at that time was that fire would come and burn that accepted sacrifice, whereas the one that was rejected would stay intact. So Qabil, who had cattle, brought a very weak and very invaluable animal, the worst that he had. Whereas Habil, who had farms and who had plants, brought the best of his crop. So when they approached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their sacrifices, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the meaning of the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good, does not accept anything but good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the fire and it burned the sacrifice of Habil, who is the one who approached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these plants. So the first one got jealous and angry and started plotting to kill his brother. And we know what happened when he ended up killing his brother, and then he didn't know what to do with the body of his brother, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a crow who buried and picked the ground to bury another crow. So he recognized and he started feeling regret for that, but it was too late. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that shaitan is working overtime to try to fulfill his promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to deceive the majority of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this story to be on guard that these are the sons of a prophet. The first generation on earth, the first generation to be born on earth, and look at what they did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us and reminding us. In Surah Al-Ma'idah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us again about that practice of the Trinity or associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this an act of kufr, an act of denial, an act of suppression and oppression. People are not being fair or just, and they are defying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that false claim, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Those who claim that Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have committed an act of kufr. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً. Those who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of three have committed an act of kufr. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us who He subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Fardu, Al-Samad, Al-Ladhi lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about their falsehood in claiming that Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in a very subtle and beautiful way, look at Isa and his mother. They are humans. They eat food. So whoever eats food, what do you think is going to happen to that food? What do they need to do to get rid of that food? They basically go to the toilet. Would it be fit for a lord to do something like that? Of course not. This is only for humans and not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, asking us, who could protect Isa ibn Maryam and his mother if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish these pious servants of his because of the mistakes and the false allegation of people who claim to be their followers and they are not their followers. When we look again at that event of Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about that question or that request that these disciples of Sayyidina Isa, who are the closest companions of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is very interesting because again, the generation around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the generation of companions around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was a unique generation. No other prophet or messenger had companions like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this shows in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Bani Israel around Sayyidina Musa. How when Sayyidina Musa went to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and left Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam in charge, how they rebelled against him and they started worshipping the calf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us later on the many transgressions of Bani Israel in the presence of Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and how only 2 out of 12 followed his command. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. In the end, Sayyidina Musa said, I can only control myself or guarantee the behavior of myself and my brother. Anyone else I cannot guarantee, even these two great individuals who showed a great promise. But again, in the end, I can only control myself and my brother. Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, his disciples, his companions came with this question. And look at the way the question is asked, and that shows again a limited or incomplete understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We know when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything and everything that He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So if we ask the question, if we start the question with, can Allah? That's the wrong question. Before even we continue, because you started with the wrong premise. Can Allah? You do not ask, you do not question the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a default. This is by default taken without even thinking. So you don't need to ask about it. But look at these disciples. They ask Sayyidina Isa, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Can your Lord descend upon us a feast from the heavens? What is the answer to that? Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, if He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam feels that, guys, you do not really appreciate who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And Sayyidina Isa tells them, beware of what you're asking for. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they said, we just want to feast our eyes with that feast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sending to us. So they sort of retracted on their steps. They understood that their question was not probably the best question. They said, نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا. We want to eat from it. We want our hearts and our minds and our eyes to feel the satisfaction of seeing the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Isa told them, listen, if you insist, I am going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend that feast upon us with one condition. If any of you, after seeing that miracle, witnessing that miracle, if any of you still has any doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or goes back into disbelief, they're going to be severely punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Isa supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His mercy descends that feast upon them, and they ate from it, and they thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then by the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Sayyidina Isa that question. And it's very interesting, by the way, that the question came in the life of Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, not after he was elevated to heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in advance what some of these disciples or some of the followers of these disciples are going to spread about Sayyidina Isa, which again is the wrong understanding of who Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Sayyidina Isa, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you tell people, take me and my mother as deities apart from or aside to or next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he didn't say that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and showing us that even Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who they claim is this and that, never commanded anything, any atrocity like that. And Sayyidina Isa told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, O Allah, I did not say anything like that. If I said it, you would have known about it. إن كنت قلته فقد علمت تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك إنك أنت علام الغيوب. Oh Allah, you know what I have said, you know what's inside me, I could never ever say anything like that, whereas I do not know, I do not have the knowledge that you have. If I said it, you would have known about it. And then Sayyidina Isa, with his mercy and kindness على نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام, tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them for their transgression, they are deserving of it because they are your slaves. They are your servants. You can do with them whatever you want without anyone questioning you. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And if you forgive them. Now, there was a story here. A person was reciting the Quran and he was reciting this ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, saying, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And there was a young boy sitting next to him. So the young boy said, repeat that. And the man repeated the ayah the same way. So the boy said, no, that's not right. There is something wrong here. The man said, what are you talking about? He said, it doesn't make sense. The conclusion of the ayah does not make sense. Go back and check. And the man went back and checked, and he found that he was wrong. The conclusion of the ayah is not إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ but إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So the ayah, the right ayah is إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Now, how did the boy understand that? So the man asked him. The man was amazed by the wisdom of that boy and the understanding of that boy. He asked him, have you memorized this surah? He said, no, but the context is not straight. Because here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he forgives them, it's not because of them being deserving of that forgiveness, but it's because of the might and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not because of his mercy in this case. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds that forgiveness from them, they deserve it. So إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Ghafur, Al-Rahim, Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Fard, Al-Samad, to forgive us and to accept our deeds and to make them sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to stop here and we're going to continue our journey tomorrow, inshallah, with Surah Al-An'am, a beautiful surah of the Quran and the first in the order of the Mus'haf of the Suwar Makkiyah. So inshallah, until tomorrow, bi-idhnillah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.